Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. I've done several interviews on various podcasts over the last few years. I've been on some good ones and thoroughly enjoyed the conversations. I've also been on some where I was actually watching the clock waiting for it to end. And I've interviewed several hundred people as well over the last couple of years. But I was on a podcast a few weeks ago that was so enjoyable, far, far exceeding what I had anticipated. And I just had to reciprocate a little bit and ask Bob Clark to be on my podcast. Now, I laughed and we had a great time on his podcast, the 808 podcast. Why 808, you ask? Because it looks like Bob. Really, that's the reason. And my guest today is the Bob Clark of the 808 podcast, where everything revolves around Bob, which is something that I can also truly relate to. Bob Clark is an internet marketing professional with extensive experience in social media marketing and search engine optimization marketing in both the political and private sectors. In fact, in 2008, Bob got his start in politics running petition crews for various causes. And after the 2008 election season, he started training politicians on the use of social media marketing and SEO. Now, during this time, he also worked with various local businesses of all sizes, aiding them with their marketing, their brands via social media marketing and SEO. But help me welcome to the program, the Bob Clark. Bob, thank you for coming on the program today.
Bob, thank you so much for having me on, and you're welcome for being on as well. So seriously, thank you.
Amen. Now, I always start with this question first. Other than that brief bio that I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Bob Clark?
Well, so who is Bob Clark? So again, like what you said, Bob, and we're going to keep saying Bob a lot in this podcast. I love it. So 2008, I stumbled into political work. I was at my church, my college group. One of my friends comes up to me and says, sign this petition. I say, why? He's like, because I make money. I'm like, all right, whatever. I briefly look over to see if there's anything that I really oppose. I'm like, mm-hmm. These are okay. And signed them all there. He's like, sweet. I just made $3. So I start processing my head. I'm like, if I get 10 people an hour, which is one every 6 minutes, which is pretty reasonable, I can make some good money at this.
Yeah.
And so went into the place and said, got a job there. Their attitude was on petition work is if you had a pulse and didn't have a criminal record, which involved either stealing or, more of the deviant stuff, they didn't care. So got in there within 3 weeks. I was in charge of half the state of Colorado. So I had a crew of about 500 people under me. And that's how I got my start in politics. Around 2012, I decided to leave and started my company called On Fire Reviews. And that's a company where we call clients, customers over the phone. We turn those phone calls into rockstar video testimonials. And we show people how to use those to increase their closing rate by about 50%.
Wow.
And then for the first 3 years of On Fire Reviews, I said, I always want to do a podcast. Always, I'm going to do it. Kick the can down. One day my mentor tells me, all right, Bob, you're going to have your first podcast episode scheduled in 24 hours. And I'm freaking out. I says, well, I don't have a website. Well, go get a website. Well, what about the recording platform? Well, go get one. Well, what about, I kept saying this and finally she just said, Bob, shut up and just do it. Just get it done.
Sounds like a great coach.
Yes, that was there. Was no excuses. Get it done. And it was funny. So as soon as I built, I was like, I'm thinking I need to do a short podcast because my attitude was that if you want to get guests on, if you're going to do a long form podcast, the chance of getting a guest on are less. And I was okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying long form is bad, but I wanted to do the mass approach.
Right.
So I decided, okay, I'm going to make it short. I want to make it gimmicky. You have a little bit of a funniness to it. So first it was going to be 13 minutes and 37 seconds. Because that's internet speak for leet, in the old hacker days. Like, mm-hmm. No, that doesn't work. Wait, 8 minutes and 8 seconds because 808 looks like Bob.
There you go.
And now the best part is the first person I scheduled is a gentleman named by Tobin Slavin. He sends me a message on LinkedIn to connect. And finally I go, hey, I'm starting a podcast. You should be on it. And he's like, great. So what's your website? Well, it's 808podcast.com, but it's a GoDaddy domain right now. I literally just bought it 5 minutes ago. All right, how many episodes have you done? You're literally the first person I'm asking. Okay. What's your? Do you have a link to schedule? Tobin, that's a wonderful idea, and I'll get done with that once we're done talking. So
I love it.
Yeah, it just very much, and again, it was, I had no plan, nothing there, and I still was able to schedule podcasts just by saying, hey, want to be on my podcast.
Yeah, amen. And your honesty verified the integrity, and that's probably why I say, yeah, I'll do it, sure.
Yep. And that works there. Now, the best part is Tobin became a client of On Fire Reviews just amen. Because of that podcast. Yeah. And had I gone to Tobin and said, hey, Tobin, do you want to know about On Fire Reviews? It was the first message. He probably would have said no.
Right, right. That's right. Let's back up just a little bit and talk about, they put you in charge. You just started and they put you in charge of half the state of Colorado?
In 3 weeks, yes. What happened was, I'm not going to say names there, but my boss, when you do petition work, there's very specific things you need to do from a legal standpoint. Okay. Like if you're doing a petition for a certain political party, you need to be registered for that political party.
Okay.
And he didn't have all the appropriate paperwork, so all his work got lost, and he got fired because of it. Okay. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to take over and do his job until, just start doing it. So I started telling people where to go, started training people and everything. So basically after a week of doing that, I went to my boss and said, all right, here's the deal. You're going to give me his position. I mean, the new position, because he hadn't hired someone yet, I'm going to stop training people. And he's like, well, you put me over a barrel. I'm like, oh, I did. I totally get it. I put you over a barrel. I'm not going to lie to you and say, no, I didn't, but here's the deal.
And you already proved you could do the work because you were doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was about a week there. And he said, yeah, things are running great. So here you go. And actually, this is, since this is a podcast, a Christian podcast there, one of the interesting things was I was going to go on a missions trip to Kenya.
Okay.
And he told me, he says, look, Bob, I'm a believer just like you, but you have to not, you can't go on this missions trip if you're going to have this job. I can't have you gone for 2 weeks.
Especially in an election.
Like, all right, I'm going to take it and just decide not to go to Kenya.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that you got to look out for the job aspect first.
Absolutely.
It should be God, country, family, job, but there are also priorities that go with, having the job to take care of the family.
So, right.
Absolutely. I don't blame you on that. Now, without mentioning names, was it nationally known politicians or state or local politicians?
For this, when I started with the petition work, it was mostly in Colorado, but I eventually worked my way up to everything from city council to president.
Okay. Outstanding. Man.
Now, if you go to any of the presidential candidates I know, again, I was low ranking person there. None of them would know my name.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But yet you impacted their campaigns.
I did.
That's right. I was like, you said that you were also involved in getting several ballot initiatives in front of voters, correct?
Yes.
What kind of ballot initiatives?
Well, now that I'm out of it, I can tell you right now that it came down to whatever the person was paying for.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and actually, one of the issues that I had that I was really against, but again, you're working for a company, you do what the company says.
Right.
So literally when I had this one, I said, this one I think is BS. You should just sign it so I make 75 cents. and again, that, like, if you don't like it, just read it. If you don't like it, whatever.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. I mean, I had a similar experience way back. This is long time ago. I'm talking 1989, 1990, right in that time frame, where I did the petition thing for probably 2 months as well. I didn't make money hand over fist at it, but at least I was able to put groceries on the table for a little bit.
Right.
So I understand completely.
Well, one of the things that taught me about sales.
Just sign it.
Yeah. It taught me something really interesting about sales. Is that don't argue with people who aren't going to buy.
That's right. That's right.
And so, because what happened is we would sometimes there would be people with volunteers who would do a petition first. Mm-hmm. And one of the examples is the right to life issue. Mm-hmm. And the problem was what the right to life people would do is they would, if someone didn't want to sign it for whatever moral, religious, whatever reasons they were, they would argue with the person.
Right.
And my attitude was, look, you are not, everyone here, we're not here to change people's minds. We are here to get signatures, and that is it. So if someone doesn't want to sign, who cares? Move on.
Yep, that's right.
Interesting thing is, again, a lot of people are very passionate about the right to life issue. Yep. And so they would argue me, say, well, it's the right thing, and I want to tell them why they're wrong. I'm like, you're not getting paid to do that. And if we don't get enough signatures, it doesn't get on the ballot. Therefore, all our work is for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about get the signature. So understand, get the sale, and you'll go from that point there. And if you know someone isn't going to buy from you, just move on.
Yeah. What is the mission that you are out to do? Get the signature, period. Not to debate it, not to sway someone's mind or strengthen the cause. Get the signature. That's the job. Mission accomplished.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And it's the same thing. I go along the same lines when, like in my business, you know, I reach out to someone through text messages or whatever. And I'm like, what's this about? I don't know if I'm interested or not. Okay. Well, if you are, let me know. And then I leave them alone. I mean, I don't try and debate. You know, I'd rather spend 95% of my time with someone who wants my help than 95% of my time trying to convince someone to become a client.
Exactly.
Outstanding. Let's shift gears a little bit.
Go for it.
Now, you told us how you got started into podcasting. Why did you get started in podcasting?
I wanted to use it as a networking tool. Okay. And a lot of people, when they do podcasts, like the way podcasts are getting sold to people are you can be the next Joe Rogan. You can be the top in your industry. You know, that part there. And that takes a lot of time, money, and energy.
Yeah.
And so I have found using a podcast as a networking tool is great. It's like, for example, Bob, you're a coach. And if you went up to someone and said, hey, do you want to be, do you want to talk about coaching? They're probably going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, hey, want to be on my podcast, they're more likely to say yes.
That's right. Yeah. Because they get to tell their story, just like you're doing.
Yes.
That's all right. So you want to be on my No.
yeah, that part there. But then what happens is because it's a networking opportunity, it's, for example, because mine's so short, you know, it's 6 questions and 8 minutes and 8 seconds because Ado, it looks like Bob. I can talk to the person for 15 minutes afterwards, see if they can help me, if I can help them, network with them, really get to know who they are. That's where another meeting would happen or conversations later that involve, you know, having business happen one way or the other.
Yep. Amen. That's right. And that's when we talked after when I was on your podcast, and we're going to be doing this summit thing that we'll be talking about later. But absolutely. I mean, that's networking. That's how business happens in the real
world. Well, think about this, Bob. When we first started talking, if I said, Bob, do you want to do a virtual summit with me? Would you have said yes?
I would have wanted more information. Exactly. You got to see if there's that connection there, you know?
But instead, we already built the connection because we were on the podcast together.
That's right. That's right. And it was an awesome podcast. I loved every minute I was on there. Folks, you got to check out the 808 podcast. I'm telling you, it's awesome.
Now, yes.
We talked about the 808 podcast. That was not your first podcast, was it?
What do you mean by not the first podcast?
Well, it seems like when we were talking, you said that you had started another one, but it didn't go anywhere, and that you were...
Oh, no, I've always wanted to do one. It was like for 3 years that I always wanted to do a podcast, but never did one.
Oh, okay. Now I got it. All right. And your podcast is part now of your coaching program, right?
It is, because what I did now is I realized that a lot of people, when they talk about podcast coaching, they want to make it, again, they want to make it to where I'm going to show you how to become the next Joe Rogan.
Right, right.
And my attitude is that, you know, podcasting doesn't need to be about building the massive audience where you get advertiser money. It can be an amazing networking tool.
Yep, absolutely.
And so my attitude is, and again, normally I say a different word, but because, you know, you're Bob, I'm going to be nice here. It's just get the darn thing done.
That's right. Hey, man, just get it done.
Yeah.
With the people I have in my coaching program, I would say 70-75% of them ask this question: how can we monetize the podcast? So tell us how you are able to monetize the 808 podcast.
Okay, here's the way I look at it there, because I do want right now, and starting it very soon, I'm going to be doing 2 episodes a day. So that's 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Now, most people are going to tell me that's crazy. So I'm going to ask them, if I told you next week that you were going to have 10 Zoom calls with people that either are people you want in your network or what your target client is going to be, would you do it? Absolutely. And everyone says yes.
Yep.
So I, when I'm on the podcast, someone, again, I don't focus on, are they going to be a lead or anything like that there? I see, are they going to be good for my network? Then after the podcast is where we talk and see if we're going to be possible fit for each other.
Right.
Whether it's, I want to hire them, they want to hire me. We're going to do some joint ventures like a summit or our vault program. I mean, there's all these different other ways to work on it there. So the podcast itself, if you say, how do you monetize a podcast? I don't focus on that. Right. I focus on how can I build my network and monetize my network.
Amen. Yeah, that's basically the same way I go about it. You know, I tell them, you know, well, you can do all this stuff, but guess what? 95% of the people who have podcasts are not able to monetize it. And then out of the 5% who do, you get maybe 0.5% of them that are actually, you know, making income from it that is, you know, sustainable and, you know, that it's their business. Just do it for the networking. That's why I'm the same way. That's why I try and emphasize network, and that's what will lead into other things. Now,
exactly. And it comes down to, again, I keep repeating this here. If you go up to someone and do some small talk and then ask them if they're interested in hiring you, 99 out of 100 times, they're going to say no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, 80% of the time when I go on Facebook, I send someone some messages, some small talk. Hey, want to be on my podcast? It's 6 questions in 8 minutes and 8 seconds because 8 looks like Bob. The entire thing takes 15 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. 80% of people say yes.
There you go. Amen.
Amen. So, and actually I tell people, yes, my entire strategy for getting podcast guests is the spam and ad. I mean, excuse me, ad and spam. Add the person, because most people who do ad and spam, add the person, small talk, buy my stuff. Add the person, small talk, want to be on my podcast.
Yeah, that's all you're pitching. Just like with the petition, just, you know, sign the petition.
Right. Here,
just be on the podcast. It's, you know, no arguing about it. No, I'm not interested. Okay, thank you. You know,
yeah. And move on. Okay, I got to tell you a funny story about that. Because of my style is, when I do interviews, my attitude is I play a character and think of him as William Shatner on cocaine. And so the entire time on the podcast, I am talking like this, Bob, question number one, what do you do? Why do I care? You know, just that kind of that style. So yeah. This lady, I tell her, I says, before you sign up, you might want to watch an episode just to get an idea. And it's less than 10 minutes. She watches it and tells me she doesn't want to be on because I'm too intense. Okay. And she keeps sending me messages on how I can change my style. And finally, I have to send her a message. I don't think you understand. I've already forgotten who you are. You don't want to be on my podcast. That's fine. Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
And literally, if you ask me what is her name, I don't remember her name. I remember the conversation, but I have no idea who she was.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And that goes into the next question, because when we talked before, you said that being a strong-willed business owner and a Christian is tough. Now,
yes,
you just touched on that subject just a second ago, and I know what you're talking about, and I totally agree. But can you explain what you mean by that statement to our listeners?
I think the toughest thing there is I saw one of your previous podcasts. You were talking about Enneagram.
Yep, that's true.
Okay. And so on the Enneagram side, I'm an 8 with the 7 wing. I can't remember the exact name for it there. But basically, they're the rarest type in a church. And they're very much the type that enjoys confrontation. Like, it's a sport to them. So like, I'll argue with someone in that part there. And so you have like, it just seems that when I'm very aggressive at a church setting, it just doesn't, it's almost like not a good cultural fit.
Yeah. They like the sheep.
Some churches do.
Yeah.
And so again, I understand this from an emotional standpoint that not everyone can just quit their job and make a business for themselves. But I don't understand it intellectually, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when someone comes to me and complains about their boss, like my head is just like, I just quit and go build a business. Just that easy. And I understand emotionally it is it, but up in the head, I don't. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when I was, especially when I was a supervisor for the police department, and you know, I had guys come in and they're complaining about this and this policy, and they're you know, Baltimore County is hiring, you know, why don't you go over there? Well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, then shut up and get on with business then.
You know, yes. It's just that kind of attitude. If you're not going to be, if you can't change it, if you can't change it or refuse to change it, deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's my entire thing was, don't come to me with a complaint unless you can offer a solution.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise, it's just wasting my time. If you come in, hey, I don't like the way this is running, but I got this idea that might fix it better. Okay, now we got something to talk about. But if you're just coming in to complain because I told you to go do something, you know, bye, you know, out of my face type thing. I guess that's my drill sergeant background coming out, but where I don't play games like that. Anyway, I know one of the things that we both agree is agitating concerns businesses who try to quote unquote market their business through Christian memes and posting. You know, yes. I'm guessing it's an effort to market their Christianity and to get customers to come to them, even though it's a non-Christian related business. What are your thoughts on all that kind of marketing tactic?
Oh, I'm going to do some very controversial things about it. First off, I find it annoying. That being said, here's the thing. If you are the person who markets to Christians and you open up your bank account and you say that is a nice number, thumbs up, keep doing what you're doing. I want to give you a good story about this. Right. I have one of my friends locally, and full disclaimer, when I talk about this here, I'm not talking about my opinions about policy issues. I'm just talking about facts. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So he asked me for some help on online marketing. I go on his Facebook, and every single post is a very, very far pro-life post. And again, we're just talking about facts here. We're not talking opinions or anything.
Right.
And I told him, I says, here's the problem with this. A third of the audience is going to love you, is going to say absolutely amen, brother. A third of the audience is going to think that you're the worst person ever. And then a third of your audience is going to go, I really don't want to deal with that issue. Mm-hmm. So you've already alienated two-thirds of the customer base. So until you decide to stop posting all that stuff online, I'm not going to help you.
That's right.
And again, he argued with me that he's morally right. I'm like, that's not the point. And I would say, even if you're the same thing, saying socialism is good, let's go to the other extreme of the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the exact same thing. Is if you open up your bank account and you are not happy with that number, stop talking about religion and politics online.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And that's why I have a business page and then the personal stuff, you know, where you show the family pictures and all that other stuff. But you know, I have no problem sharing my faith. But right. As Martin Brandle said in The Godfather, you know, business is business, you know?
Yes.
That's the separation. Yes, I can share my faith in my business, but at the same time, if I'm, like you said, I don't want to alienate two-thirds of that. Now, I can alienate, you know, 25% of them by some of the standards. That's fine. But at the same time, what is the purpose? Now, if they come on there and they try and argue, you know, blah, 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 well, okay, bye. You know, you're gone. I'm not going to argue. Not especially on social media, you know. But yeah, I agree. Now, if you have in my opinion, if you have a Christian business, it's proper to use Christian memes and all that to market that business. Okay, like a Christian bookstore or whatever. I mean, that Absolutely. Would be the reason people are searching for you, right?
Yes.
But if your business is, I don't know, selling car tires or something, I'm more interested in the type, the quality, and the price of the tires I'm getting. You know, your faith, in my mind, does not really matter at that point. If I find out that the price, quality, and type of tire meets my needs, and then we can establish a relationship, and I find out about your faith, hey, I'm more likely to return as your customer. But I'm not looking for that when I'm looking for a car dealer initially. You know, does that make sense?
It does. Like, okay, the guy that I buy my cars from, he's an auto broker.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a Christian because of conversations we've had, but right. I never went to him because he's a Christian.
Right. You mean you didn't search online for a Christian car broker?
No, I did not. And again, my attitude is that, you know, I'm looking for the best deal and the best customer service.
That's it.
Exactly. Him being a Christian is a bonus.
Yep. There you go. Amen. I can't agree more. And like I said, that is more at, I mean, there is a auto repair shop here locally that, you know, I've took my car to several different places and I call around, you know, someone can't fix something until next week or whatever. And this guy, well, bring it in and we'll take a look at it. And went in, and, you know, they were the cheapest one. They could get it out the next day. So I did it. And while I'm sitting there talking to the owner, I'm looking around on the walls and he's got all this, you know, Christian themed stuff. And then I listen and they're actually playing Christian music. I go, wow, this is unusual for business. Oh, yeah. So, you know, all of us here are Christians, and this is our ministry. We have Bible studies here after work on Wednesday night, and we show kids movies on Thursdays. And, you know, I say, wow, that's kind of cool. Well, so I start, that's now where I take my car to get fixed. But I did not initially search that out.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I got another story about this. Okay. I'm in downtown Colorado Springs. I'm at a rally for a Republican politician. There was a clothing store downtown that I used to go to all the time. The owner decides to come out and tell everyone how they're horrible and they hate, you know, they hate everyone, blah, blah, blah. I went to the guy afterwards and says, I'm never stepping foot in your store again. And it's not that he was, you know, that he disagreed with my political views. Mm-hmm. It was that he went out in front of his store and started screaming like a maniac.
Yeah.
And it's been 6 years and I still haven't set foot in his store.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with the Bob Clark of the 808 podcast. Why 808? Because it looks like Bob. I mean, I wish I'd have thought of that. Bob Clark has a unique personality. He's geared it up for his podcast and his business training program. And I'm telling you right now, if you are trying to launch an online business, you're into affiliate marketing, multi-level marketing, you need some help doing these things, Bob Clark is probably the one that knows how to do it. You're going to love talking to him. I can guarantee it. Now, this is only part one. We just brushed the surface of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow. So I need you to come back tomorrow as we get ready to conclude our interview with Bob Clark, because he's going to be dropping some value bombs. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss tomorrow's episode. All right? So till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.